Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to begin reading at verse 17 and then read through the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. What we hear now is God's Word. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue tonight our study of this section of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, a section I suggested that runs from chapter 11 through chapter 14. And the theme of this chapter is matters related to the worship of the church. Paul is giving instruction, Paul is giving correction to the church at Corinth about worship matters. We talked last time about the first 16 verses of this chapter and the place of women in worship. And Paul's point that men and women, although they are one in Christ and share the same glorious salvation, have been called to different roles in the church. Paul is now going to go on in this last half of chapter 11 and deal with the problem surrounding the Lord's Supper. Now, I hope, children, when I read this text tonight, that it sounded kind of familiar to you. Because it is this text, particularly verses 23 through 28, that is read in the preparatory exhortation in the back of the Psalter when we prepare to come to the Lord's table. It's a text that is often very familiar to us. And there's a certain a certain ease about preaching a familiar text. It's something we all know. But there's also a certain challenge about looking at a familiar text. This text in particular, I think. I mentioned last week that some of the conclusions that we came to, I was a bit uneasy with, not because I thought that they were wrong, but they were different than I had expected. And in some ways, the same is true with this text tonight. Liturgically, historically, in the Reformed churches, we have used this text about being aware of coming to the table of the Lord in an unworthy manner, being aware of a man examining himself, to say that it's important for us, before coming to the Lord's table, for a time of self-examination. And historically, in the Reformed churches, before the Lord's Supper was celebrated, the previous Sunday, there was a preparatory sermon, helping us to properly examine ourselves before coming to the Lord's table. Now, I want to be clear. I think it is very important to properly examine ourselves before coming to the Lord's table. That should be a part of our regular practice. But I don't think this is the best text to use to support that practice. I think when we look at the issue Paul is dealing with, while it is manifesting itself in terms of the way they come to the table, Paul is dealing with a deeper problem in the church. Not just trouble at the Lord's table. I think perhaps I titled this sermon a bit too soon before I was far enough in my study. I think if I could retitle this sermon, I would title it Discerning the Body. Because that's what Paul is talking about. Discerning the body. We will see what he means by that as we look at this text together. To see that it is a problem that manifested itself at the Lord's table, but a deeper problem in the church. A problem of divisions, of lack of unity. But what was going on? Paul says, in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Things were going wrong. In the first place, he says, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. Now, Paul began this letter, if you remember, a number of weeks ago, perhaps months ago now, talking about divisions in the church. There were divisions in the church regarding the leaders. They were following different leaders. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Christ. Those are not the divisions he's referring to here, however. Not divisions based on who they were following, what leader they liked, what teacher they liked better. He is talking about divisions in the church that were based upon their own social economic conditions. There were some who were more wealthy in the church and some who were less wealthy in the church. And that division was manifesting itself at the table of the Lord. Paul says, verse 20, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, although you think you are. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. When they met together for the Lord's Supper, in the New Testament context, it was in terms of a larger meal, sometimes referred to as the love feast. There was this other feast going on. As a part of that, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Well, the New Testament church often met in people's homes. Now imagine today if you were going to host this church in your home. That's a lot of people. They had the same problem. They would set the dining room, and a few people could eat there. But most ended up in the atrium on the back porch, children. Most ended up on the back porch. Few of them inside, a lot of them outside. And what they were doing was those who were rich, those who were the wealthy, those who were the powerful, they were getting the good seats at the table. And in many times, eating that whole meal, that whole love feast, including the Lord's Supper, even before the poor, before the servants, before the back porch ever got their food. They were dividing themselves on social, economic lines. And Paul said, this should not be. You are a church. Whatever distinctions, whatever divisions there might be in the world, when you come together as the people of God, recognize yourself as exactly that. The people of God, brought together. And as a result, he says, you know, it's so bad that when you come together, you really can't even claim to be having the Lord's Supper anymore because of these divisions. You have homes to eat in, homes to drink in, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Shall I commend you in this? No, I certainly will not. That was the local issue. That was the local problem. Division within the body of Christ based upon social economic standards and manifesting itself at the Lord's Supper as they came together for this meal. Some eating a lot and the poor getting almost nothing. Paul says, let me remind you what the supper is about. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They had made the supper a statement about who they were. They made the supper a statement about themselves. Some of us eat in the dining room. Some of us on the back porch. It became, who are we? And where do we fit in the order? Paul reminds them, the nature of the supper is that this is done in remembrance of Christ, of what he has done, of who he is. The fact that Christ, who was and remains true and eternal God, would humble himself to leave the glories of heaven and come down to earth and offer up himself on the cross for his people. They were talking about their status, about their position. Paul says, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And look what he did. He humbled himself to death on the cross. It was a reminder that none of us has standing at the Lord's table. None of us deserves to come, even on the back porch. But we are invited, in remembrance of Christ, to take and to eat of his body and his blood. He says, 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant. Covenant speaks of a relationship that God in his goodness chose a people for his very own. A reminder that in Jesus Christ they were chosen, but not because of who they were, but because of who Christ was. It is true that, as we saw last week from Galatians chapter 3, in Christ there is no longer any rich or poor, any slave or free. We saw last week, if I can put it this way, a misuse of Galatians 3:28, that we are one in Christ. when they broke down the distinctions between men and women and made them all the same. This week, we kind of have the different problem, failure to recognize the fact that there are no rich or poor. There are no slave or free, but we are all one in Christ. They went the other way with regard to the celebration of the supper. There is a new covenant. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. You don't proclaim your status. You don't proclaim your righteousness. You don't proclaim who you are. But Paul reminds them, in coming to the table, you remember. In coming to the table, you proclaim Jesus Christ, the host of the supper. After that reminder, Paul then goes on to give them a correction. And here we have the heart of this section. Verse 27. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And I appreciate how the ESV translates this particular verse. Eating in an unworthy manner. Not eating as unworthy people. And that has been historically an understanding of this text. That we have to recognize our own unworthiness. But Paul doesn't say that you are unworthy. He says eating in an unworthy manner. He'll unpack that about a verse or two later. But historically, in the Reformed churches, this verse has been taken to mean that unless you are worthy, you cannot come to the table of the Lord. And of course, the problem is, none of us are worthy. None of us in ourselves are worthy to approach the Lord's table. None of us in ourselves are worthy to come and take and eat the body and blood of Christ. And that misunderstanding of the text in some denominations has kept many away from the table because they simply don't believe they're worthy enough to come. That's not what Paul is saying. He's not talking about those who are unworthy not being able to come. He's talking about approaching the table in an unworthy manner. And he unpacks that then. Verse 28. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We examine the manner in which we come to the Lord's table. We do have careful thought, careful reflection. But what is it that we reflect upon? Again, historically, this text has been used to talk about a person's self-examination. Let a person examine himself and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. Paul goes on, verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Again, I appreciate this particular translation. Some of you in your text may have eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ or the body of the Lord. Those phrases of the Lord are not there in the text. That is an addition. Whoever eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment. What is it to discern the body? Some have suggested, and again, in our own tradition, that what that means is we need to be able to understand the body of Christ present at the table. We need to understand what it means that the bread is a symbol of the body of Christ. And again, part of that comes from the translation, discerning the body of the Lord, as if that's referring to the bread. But it doesn't say body of the Lord. When Paul says body and blood of the Lord, he refers to the elements. But here he doesn't say that. Here he particularly says, discerning the body. What does he mean? What is that body we are to discern? The context is unity or division in the body of the church. Paul is saying, as we come to the Lord's table, we must recognize the body, that we come communally, that we come as members of the body of Christ. He uses that same understanding of body to refer to the church a chapter earlier, back in chapter 10. And verse 17, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. When Paul says discerning the body, his reference is not, first of all, to the elements laid before us, but to recognizing the communal nature of the body of Christ. That's the problem he's addressing. Divisions in the body. And that's what his corrective is for then. That you must properly examine yourselves in terms of the body. Not thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought. Not thinking of yourselves better than others because of your social economic standing. But recognizing that all of us, left to ourselves, fall under the condemnation of God. No one is better than any other. And so as we come to the Lord's table, to eat unworthily is to say, I belong in the dining room. I belong up front. I belong served first. No, to eat in a worthy manner is to recognize our fallenness. All of us. That no one has a better standing with God because of who we are. But all of us are in need of Christ's saving work, of Christ's saving power. He says in verse 30, that's why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. There was a problem in the body. People were weak. People were ill. This sin was manifesting itself, not in the bread and the wine, in the body, in the church of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. We historically have often taken this text in far too much of an individualistic fashion. Again, I'm not saying we should not examine ourselves, but this text is not the best one to demonstrate that. This text talks about recognizing our place, discerning the body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and recognizing all of us stand in need of Him. All of us left to ourselves would never be able to come, but we are only here because of what Christ has done for us. He says, if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so we may not be condemned along with the world. He says, God is disciplining us. We talked about that this morning, God's discipline for His people, that we might do things properly, do things His way, do things as the body of Christ. That's Paul's instruction for the church. That's Paul's corrective for the church. He says, when you live this way, there are blessings that will come to you. So then, verse 32, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If someone's hungry, let him eat at home. So when you come together, it will not be for judgment. When you come together, wait for each other. Recognize, discern the body. Be patient with each other. Esteem others better than yourself. Be willing to take the place on the back porch, Paul is saying. And wait. Don't think you have to get the best piece of food first. But care more about others than you care for yourself. That's exactly what Christ did in giving Himself in the supper. He offered up His life for the sake of His people. And Paul says the church should be a reflection of that. reflection of the way that Christ dealt with us. So he calls them. He doesn't level all distinctions. He doesn't say you all have to be the same. He says, if you're hungry, eat at home then. And if you can afford it, that's fine. But when you're together as a body, when you're with the people of the Lord, recognize we all stand in need of the grace of God through Christ Jesus. That same instruction is just as appropriate for us today. I'm not suggesting there are social economic distinctions raising themselves at the table, but it is a good reminder for us. A good reminder that whatever place in society we come from, in the church, we are one in Christ Jesus. The world often gives titles, the world gives standing, the world gives certain authority to others and takes it away from others. In the body of Christ, those worldly distinctions fall away. We are to recognize each other as brothers and sisters, wait for each other, esteem them better than ourselves, be willing to be wronged rather than make a division in the body. Paul's instruction to them is also his instruction to us. People of God, we are different. We have different interests. We do have perhaps different standings in society, if we can put it that way. But we're here gathered tonight as the body of Christ. We're gathered here tonight to talk about what we share in common, not what divides us, not what distinguishes us. We share a need for salvation. We share a condemnation in sin left to ourselves. And we share the glory of what Christ has done, that He has offered up His body and blood for us. And for any who are visiting tonight, for any who come into our church, it doesn't matter where you are at in society. It doesn't matter whether you come in as one of the movers and shakers or in the world, or someone coming in and barely daring to step in the door. Because of Jesus Christ, we are all made one. Oh, there's different talents, there's different gifts which God will use in His own ways. But no one has a higher standing. Together, we are called to live, we are called to act as the body of Christ. For any of you who are here tonight thinking that you're not good enough to join the church, you don't have the right credentials to be part of this congregation, let me assure you, it is our goal, it is our desire to discern the body, to recognize we all stand in need, and find our worthiness only in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, again tonight we have opened Your Word, and we do stand humbly before that Word. We know that we are weak and frail, and yet we pray and we trust that You will lead us and guide us into all truth. If we have in the past in any way misunderstood what You're trying to say to us, may we understand clearly tonight the call to unity, the call to unity in Jesus Christ, not to divide over things that should not be dividing us. Help us, O God, to care about the members of this church, to care about one another, their needs, their concerns, their burdens, not to be too busy, not to be too high and mighty to be concerned with others, but rather, like Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior, to humble ourselves and to care for the body which You have placed us in. Lord God, we know this is unnatural for us. We want the place at the table. We want the seat in the dining room. We ask You would forgive us for that. and that you would work in us by the power of your Spirit to care, to love your body. Hear us, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.